gates of hell.
This is Global Patriot Radio.
Hey, welcome to the Vito Esposito Show with Big Al, starring the godfather of Global Patriot Radio, the dawn of dissenting discussion, the Italian infidel himself, Vito Esposito. Him and his hitman, Big Al, are here to whack the leftists, shake down the Democrats, and put out a contract on all the jihadis that are messing with the American family. And if you got what it takes to be a wise guy, you can get made right here on the show by dialing 319-527-6706. So, get ready to go to the mattresses and say, Mamma Mia, no Sharia, because Vito and Big Al are going to give you a radio show you can't refuse.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all, good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. I'm Vito. Our call-in number tonight in every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. And I'm joined by that no-pork-eating America lover, Al. How you doing, Al?
I'm doing great, and it's good to be here. And I got some great news to report.
Uh-oh.
351 million Americans love this show. I heard it from the president himself, so congratulations to you.
Hey, they are very smart people, I'll tell you. I tell you, Sue from New Mexico has a broader reach than you realize. I'm telling you, this lady knows a lot of people.
she's no broad. She's a lady.
That's right. Hey, okay, really quick, a nail-biter yesterday in the PGA. The leader, America's Harris English, faltered down the stretch, and it came down to a playoff to determine the winner. America's Sam Burns, Japanese Hideki Matsuyama, the Masters winner, and Mexico's Abraham Anser were all in the playoff. Burns already has two wins. Matsuyama has six PGA Tour wins, including winning this year's Masters tournament. And Abraham Anser has yet to win or yet to have won on the PGA Tour. And that changed because on the second playoff hole, Mexican Abraham Answer notched his first PGA Tour win, and a good one at that. It's a WGC event, which means he gets into next year's Masters. He gets into the U.S. Open. He gets, I think, a five-year exemption on the PGA Tour. So the kid's a solid player anyways, but the young man did well, kept it together, and he ended up winning the WGC FedEx St. Jude Classic in Memphis, Tennessee. The top 65 players were invited, and although – you know, Harris English started the day with the lead. He unfortunately was paired with Bryson DeChambeau. And I got to tell you, I don't know if you watched that tournament, but I did. Oh, I will admit I did turn it off about the 16th hole and I went and mowed the lawn. But the pairing proved to be a bad thing for Harris English. DeChambeau is a slow player. DeChambeau needs to pick up his game. And, you know, this is not a sports show. I'll leave that to Hank. But whether you're delivered or not, he's tough to play with. And you know what? He took English right out of his game and his routine. And I don't know if he does that intentionally as a way of showmanship or a sport tactic. But he got English rattled. And although English is responsible for his own game, DeChambeau is one tough individual to play with. And, you know, I'm beginning to understand why Brooks Koepka doesn't like the guy and why many guys on the tour are complaining about DeChambeau and his level of play. And I'll tell you, for three rounds, Harris English is a deliberate player. For three rounds, he didn't get one slow play penalty. He played, you know, he kept his gait. He kept his routine going. But the minute he starts playing with DeChambeau in the last group, they had two slow play warnings, two. And it wasn't because of English, Harris English. Ended up double bogey in two of the par threes on the back nine, and that spelled the end of it. And in the end, though, Abraham Answer got his first victory, so congratulations to that young man. But I'm understanding now why there's such a consternation to play with DeChambeau. I don't like his style of play. You can't blame, you know, Harris is responsible for his game, but you could see that he was rushed and of course with two slow play penalties, which means that the PGA can take away one stroke per warning. You know, and it didn't happen to Harris this past week, nor any other week before that, prior to this, but only when he plays with DeChambeau. I just, you know, it's getting ridiculous.
Yeah, so. Well, to DeChambeau's defense, I was watching everything. The guy hits it so far, and he takes such risks that he plays parts of the course that nobody else plays, for that matter. For instance, the one ball that was up under the fencing where – Did you see that, or were you cutting the lawn?
No, I saw that. As a matter of fact, I logged the PGA because they actually were proactive in getting there and making a ruling before DeChambeau got there, because it would have been a 10-minute ruling as it was.
Yeah, the guy was good. He was right there on the spot. They took the measurement. A dimple of the ball was in play, so he took it and got it, and then off they went. Yes, it took a good 4 or 5 minutes from getting the ball to getting it hit. But I don't know. It's
his tactic.
Is he kind of a dick? Yeah. Is he kind of a dick? Yeah, he's kind of a dick. You know, everybody's got to play their game.
It's his tactics, and unfortunately, you know, slow play warnings and stuff start getting into other people's heads, and you know what? It is DeChambeau. It's not the other players now, and I firmly saw that. So also,
but
getting
the
his
ending,
first,
the ending.
What?
Hold on, before you go on, the ending was fantastic. I mean, you had Hideki Matsuyama, Sam Burns, and Answer all in a playoff, and then the last hole. Matsuyama hits it maybe, 25 feet right of the pin or so, but Sam Burns and Answer are literally within a foot and a half of each other, less than 5 feet from the pin. Answer makes the putt, and his is the longer one. Sam Burns already had the line, and then he lipped it out. And that putt cost him approximately $903,000, which is amazing.
That was huge.
The winner netted $1.82 million. Second place came in at $917,500. So that one putt cost him almost a mil. That was spectacular, the pressure. So now if you watch golf, now you have a little more awareness of the pressure of each of these putts because nobody looks at the game from that perspective, and that's an important part, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty cool. It really is. It's nice to see him win. You know, and if somebody else who got their first win on the PGA Tour, because there was a regular PGA Tour event that was going on simultaneously because only the top 65 in the world get invited to this one, up the Barracuda Classic in Lake Tahoe, the Barracuda Championship, Eric Von Ruin, South African, who also won his first PGA Tour event, gets a two-year exemption with that win. It moved him up from 139th in the FedEx points. It moves him into the top 100, which is that's great. Or top 20, 125, I mean. So, and the guy, if you ever watch PGA golf, you see a guy with tight, the pants that tighten up around the ankles. It's really funny. He wears funny pants, but it works for him. He did really well. He played well on the back nine, and he beat Andrew Putnam in the Stableford match at the Barracuda Championship. So kudos to Eric Von Ruin, and kudos to the young man from Mexico, Abraham Answer. He had the answer in the playoff.
Yes, he did. Oh, very clever.
Thank you.
And in other sports, I guess the United States is up to 7 golds, which is kudos to those people, even though it's a lackluster Olympics. But talking about strange rulings, speaking of DeChambeau, I don't know if you had a chance to watch the men's kumite, which is kind of like, I don't know, taekwondo, karate.
Okay. No, I did not.
Well, it was a fight for the gold between Tareg Hamedi of Saudi Arabia and Iran's Sajed Ganjadeh, however you pronounce his name. Anyway, they're fighting for the gold, and the Saudi Arabian, I think, is a better fighter, quicker, faster, a little bit bigger. Well, anyway, the Saudi Arabian comes in with the roundhouse kick. The Iranian literally walks into the kick and gets knocked out. Who do you think got the gold?
The Iranian.
Right.
Knocked him out, right?
Got a penalty. Yeah, got a penalty for knocking him out, even though his opponent walked into his kick.
Wow.
Craziest ruling I've ever seen. They said, oh, well, he's kicking too hard. Well, I'm sorry, but I've been in karate tournaments, and you got some pad, and you go full speed. You just do. You don't pull back.
And you don't walk
anyway,
into a kick.
Stupid rule, but I have no love for the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, but I think this Tareg Hamedi, great skilled fighter, got screwed.
Well, it looks
anyway,
like the
that was an interesting sideline.
The Olympics have come to an end, haven't they? The United States ended with 113 medals, 39 gold, 41 silver, and 33 bronze. China came in second, a distant second at 88 medals. Japan, 58. Great Britain, 65. And Russia managed to scrape by with 71 medals. It was a lackluster Olympics. It was some say that NBC did a poor job in airing it. The time difference could have lent to that, but it did plunge in the ratings. But you know what? Also, Americans were tired of the woke movement and they turned off or did not tune in. And yet, there are USA athletes who should be lauded for their outstanding play, such as U.S. woman wrestler Tamara Mensah Stock,
This young lady stole Americans' hearts with her great smile, her enthusiasm, her enthusiastic win, and lauding her country, the United States of America. Tamara Mensah-Stock, a black African-American whose father is from Ghana, she won a gold medal, the first time to do that in the 63-kilogram freestyle. So congratulations to that young lady. She was an internet success. I mean, she was her smile and just stating she loves the United States of America. It was so refreshing to hear an athlete, you know, laud this country that gave her an opportunity, and she took full advantage of it. The first track and field gold for U.S. in women's discus throwing, USA Valerie Allman won a gold medal. American gymnast Jade Carey wins a gold on the floor exercise. And then how about U.S. Army Officer Lieutenant Amber English defeated Italy's Diana Baccosi and won the gold medal in the women's shotgun skeet shooting. It's the first U.S. service member to win a top prize at the Summer Games. She set the Olympic record of 56 in the final round. America did end up with 113, but how about that, man? That was you know what?
56.
Go ahead.
Yeah, 56 out of 60.
Yeah.
Of the clay pigeon she hit.
Well, she missed the last one, but she did it because, you know, at that point it didn't matter, right? I mean, I think she needed to get to 56.
She still got the world record against an Italian at that. It was I watched that. That was a great match.
Hey, now, speaking of the Italians, just hold on one second here. You know who won the 4x100 relay? Do you know who won the 4x100 men's relay? It was
the Italians, Al. It was the Italians. They won the 4x100 relay.
How about that? The fastest man in the world, 100 meter, and you had the Italians winning the 4x100 relay. Oh, mamma mia! That was great. That was absolutely great. Sorry,
I
digress.
Missed it, but who saw that coming? Nobody.
Nobody. Nobody saw that coming. Oh my God, it was beautiful. Oh, just it.
Dog says Italians haven't had a runner like that since Jimmy Hoffa was just running up the back door down Main Street.
Well, you know why they ran so fast, the Italians, the 4x100? They had four Aborigines from New Zealand that were chasing them, thinking it was dinner, and the Italians were saying, "No way, or we're going to get out of here." In true snowflake news, in America, the fragile and weak left wingers had a rock removed from a university campus. Did you hear that?
I did.
Yeah, you know, a racist rock at the University of Wisconsin removes Boulder from campus after students say the rock is a symbol of racism, citing one. Now, you heard this right, citing one news article from 1925. I mean, this is insane. It appeared back in 1925, and it was construed as being racist. This is how fragile the woke left, the snowflakes on the left are. A rock had to be removed from the University of Wisconsin. The cowards at the Madison campus, the cowards at the University of Wisconsin-Madison campus, including every single person that from the chancellor to the janitor, the cowards, okay? The chancellor of the university is a coward. I mean, these people have got no backbone, not standing up to these freaks, these fragiles, these left-wing lunatics who are citing something that happened in, you know, 1925 that now is being perceived as racist. The boulder is named after Thomas Crowder Chamberlain, a 19th century geologist and former university president. Now, that's racist in itself, right? The university excavated the 42-ton boulder and placed it on top of Observatory Hill to honor Chamberlain. Okay, so let's take all the honors and the symbols, and let's start removing all statues if you're offended because you're nothing but a fragile snowflake. The boulder is a rare, large example of a Cambrian era glacial erratic that experts say is likely over 2 billion years old. And who knows what kind of racism was around 2 billion years ago. It was carried by glaciers from as far north as Canada and dumped onto Observatory Hill along with the billions of tons of other debris when ice receded from the state about 12,000 years ago. And can you imagine the racists that existed 12,000 years ago? If they were to dig up and unearth those racists, oh my God, they better shut down the whole state of Wisconsin. However, one news article from nearly 100 years ago referred to the rock as a racial slur. So the rock must go. Okay, the rock must go. I mean, these pansies really think that a rock is a symbol of racism. I read that. It's like, I had to make mention of it. It's just, it's absolutely retarded. This is how stupid and ignorant the left wing is to even allow these freaks, these little pansies to get their way because a rock that of an article that may have occurred in 1925. It's as dumb as the New York Yankees for axing Kate Smith's rendition of God Bless America because she sung about, I don't know, Piccaninnies in 1931. Okay, here's a woman that was so proud to be an American. She was a proud Philadelphia Flyers hockey fan. She loved the New York Yankees. I mean, this is how stupid the woke culture has gotten. And it also explains why the U.S. Olympic ratings tanked, because people are tired of this type of politics that's infecting sports. And every aspect, and then colleges and universities are a cesspool for the progressive pollution that is infecting our universities and colleges around the United States. And this is just another example of absolute and sheer stupidity on the part of the University of Wisconsin, the cowardly chancellor, you know, bending over and greasing herself up because of some snowflakes were offended by a rock. Calling a rock racist. Give me a break. Just stupid. Absolutely stupid. Joe Biden, it looks like bumbling buffoon Biden has got his hands full.
But wait, hold on. Let's go back.
Go ahead.
One second.
Yeah.
This rock still fascinates me because this rock was referred to as the N-word head rock. That's N.
How?
N-word head rock. That was the nickname. Now, minority students complained about the rock because it represents a history of discrimination going back to the 20s. Because during the 20s, they described any large dark rock as the N-word head rock. So cost the university $50,000 to get this stone moved. That's how big it is. They had to put it on a low boy to get it out of there. They needed a huge crane to lift it. And the Black Student Union led the call to remove the rock on Friday morning. Crews lifted it with a crane, placed it on a flatbed truck at a cost of $50,000. They said was covered by private donations. I want to know who the hell put money to get rid of this rock. But this is the mindset. Local resident Kenneth Owen said he was glad to see it gone. It's not the rock, he said. It's not the rock's fault that it got the terrible and unfortunate nickname N-word head. He said, but the fact is, it's being moved shows that the world is getting a little better today, and I think just the opposite. It shows the insanity of this world that a rock now is somehow racist. At this point, the chancellor of the school should have said, no, no, we stop here. This is the line. Everything is racist.
Yeah.
A rock is not racist. Get the hell out of here. If you don't like it, get out of the school. But no, they caved.
They caved.
They caved.
Cowards.
So look
absolute
at that.
Cowards.
Yeah, look at it as a data point. He says the stupid resident said he thinks the world is becoming a better place. Just the opposite. It's becoming less tolerant, more divided, more divisive, angrier, and it's eventually going to become more violent just because of incidents like this, because now the Black Student Union is like, oh, if we can get this moved for 50 grand, we can do anything.
Right. And that's
and we're
just
seeing
it.
A lot of things we never thought we'd see in our lifetime, but here it is. So shame, shame on them.
Just it's stupid. It's absolutely stupid. I mean, I just, you know, it just shows how fragile and ignorant the left wing is. But this is the pollution of progressive politics. This is exactly what the Marxists want. This is exactly what the communist movement wants. It wants this division by race, you know, and the perfect breeding ground for this ignorant movement is the university and colleges. And, you know, just like the cowardly chancellor of the University of Wisconsin to bend over backwards and allow, you know, this insanity to happen, you know, show a pair of balls and say, no, okay, get over it. It's a rock. Okay. It's a rock. It's a symbol that was from the 19th century when, lauding the first president of the university. So, you know, this is just insane. It's insane.
Yeah. It's a boulder. It's
a boulder.
And meanwhile, Dr. Charles Jacobs put out a video where Arabs and Muslims have black slaves. And this is going on now. He's got it on video. And progressives just, or Marxists just don't care. The Black Student Union doesn't care. Black Lives Matter doesn't care. Arabs and Muslims have black slaves. And the pictures in this thing are horrendous. So that is who... This stupid boulder, racist boulder, these are the victims of the racist boulder because nobody is screaming for these actual victims of racism. Arabs and Muslims have black slaves. And
yep.
Put that in your hookah and smoke it because that is disgusting to me. And this, in 2000, what year are we in now? 2021?
Yeah.
And there's still black slaves?
Where's the United Nations? Where's the Organization
Nowhere.
Of Islamic
it's
Cooperation?
Silent.
Yeah, right. Silent, right? The 57 Islamic nations are silent. They're silent. You know, they call Israel the apartheid state. In the meantime, the true apartheid, the true oppressors, the true racists are the Islamic countries. But bubbling Biden got some bad news. Nearly 1,800 Americans directly affected by the September 11, 2001 terrorist attack are opposing Joe Biden's participation in any memorial events this year unless he upholds his pledge to declassify U.S. government evidence that they believe may show a link between Saudi Arabian leaders and the attacks. The victims' families, first responders, and survivors will release a statement Friday calling on Biden to skip the 20th anniversary events in New York and Shanksville, Pennsylvania, and at the Pentagon unless he releases the documents, which they believe implicates Saudi officials in supporting the act of terrorism. Remember, it was Saudi Arabia who helped finance the 19 Islamic terrorists who flew planes into the Twin Towers, the U.S. Pentagon, and, of course, it was the brave passengers on Flight 76, was it, that 96 that commandeered the plane and it ultimately crashed in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. We cannot in good faith and with veneration to those lost, sick, and injured welcome the president to our hallowed grounds until he fulfills his commitment.
they wrote in a statement obtained by NBC News. Since the conclusion of the 9/11 Commission in 2004, which investigative evidence has become uncovered, implicating Saudi government officials in supporting the attacks, the statement says. Through multiple administrations, the Department of Justice and FBI have actively sought to keep this information secret and prevent the American people from learning the truth about 9/11 attacks. And among the documents the group seeks are supporting evidence found during a widespread FBI investigation into the attacks that examined alleged Saudi links and was completed in 2016. Brett Eagleson, whose father Bruce died at the World Trade Center, said he and his co-signers collectively are at our wit's end with our government. Well, sadly, that is true. We are frustrated, tired, and saddened with the fact that the U.S. government for 20 years has kept to keep information about the deaths of our loved ones behind lock and key, said Eagleson, who was among a group of victims' relatives who filed a federal lawsuit accusing Saudi Arabia of being complicit in the attacks. While the 9/11 Commission report found that Saudi Arabia had been a problematic ally, particularly when it came to sharing intelligence, the investigation found no evidence implicating Saudi leaders in the attack. And that was Flight 93. Thank you, Belly. I said 96. The commission staff found no evidence that the Saudi government as an institution or as an individual senior officials knowingly support or supported Al-Qaeda. However, a lack of awareness of the problem and failure to conduct oversight over institutions created an environment in which such activity has flourished. And what I found interesting, you know, for the last 20 years, it's been said, it's been known that the 19 Muslim terrorists were funded by Saudi Arabia. So, and again, you know, you've got the buffoon Biden, the blubbering Biden, who bloviates and gives sound bites. And again, these, now the families of the 9/11 are going to hold this blubbering idiot to feet to the fire. And hopefully they will, because, you know, he says things. He makes empty promises. He's not a transparent individual. He probably forgot that even what he said, but it's good. And I'm glad that the 9/11 families are holding this buffoon to feet to the fire, because, again, he speaks in sound bites and he speaks in slogans. And it's time to call this bloviating buffoon out for his constant and chronic lying and misinformation and disinformation. So you can find that story at jihadwatch.com. Did you see the story, Al?
Yes, I did. And your explanation is perfect. Horrible. Absolutely a horrible story. And that's not even presidential. It's embarrassing to the country. And yet we hear stories like this over and over, one form or another.
It's just he just speaks in sound bites and makes empty promises. And, you know, of course, he's big man on campus all the time. You know, he likes to be the big man, as we saw, you know, when he disclosed that he and Barack withheld a $1 billion loan guarantee to Ukraine, an ally. And, of course, the media looked the other way. And they went after Trump so they can, you know, shield the buffoon Biden. But, let's hope that the it's next month, actually. Now it's hard to believe it's a month away. Let's hope that the families all continue to hold true to this and Biden starts to be held accountable, because it's not the news media. The DNC news media is going to hold them accountable, which they do not. It'll be the families. So good for them. So I was reading through the $1.2 trillion infrastructure boondoggle, the insult bill that takes money from the American taxpayers. And I'm not sure I don't know if you saw this, Al, but in the bill, it includes a road usage tax per mile. Were you aware of this?
No, this is news to me. I'm glad you read this thing so we don't have to.
Well, I didn't read I will be honest, I didn't read the whole thing, but so buried in the infrastructure bill, the Democrat Communist Party, with the blessings of the bubbling buffoon Biden, buried a motor vehicle user's fee. Well, you know, that's okay, Vito, because it's about taxing those who use the roadways. But remember, it was the liar in chief who stated during the campaign that if you make less than, let me see, let's pick a number out. If you make less than $400,000 a year, you will not have your taxes raised, not one dime. And so far, they've been being raised at $1 increments, in some cases $5 increments. I paid $12 more today to fill up my car, $12 more than I paid, okay, January the 2nd of 2021. That's how much of an impact this buffoon Biden has. This is how much this bloviating buffoon has impacted the economics, not to mention food costs increasing. But now you can take heed here now that the Democrat Communist Party has inserted, with the blessings of 19 Republicans, okay, in the Senate, they have put a motor vehicle user's fee. And what that will mean to you is the government will start monitoring your travel, and they will start imposing a fee on your motor vehicle by the number of miles that you drive on roads in America, on surface transportation infrastructure. How about that, huh? How about that? Yet another meaningless soundbite by bloviating, blubbering Biden, a national motor vehicle per mile user's fee.
Yeah, but truckers already pay extra taxes as it is. Commercial vehicles pay taxes for every mile driven.
Wait, you
employees
said...
Employees who use the road, they get a per mile payment of usually 15 to 25 cents per mile driven while working. Do those go by the wayside?
No. You see now, you said something interesting. Truckers already pay a tax, okay? This is not truckers. This is Mr. and Mrs. America. This is the low-wage single mom, okay, who lives in Little Falls, New York. She has a job in Fairfield, New York, which is 8.2 miles away. Now, she jumps on 170, she turns onto 29, and she goes to her job at Kenny Farms, okay, 8.2 miles away. So that's 16.4 miles a day that she drives. Boom, the government's going to start monitoring her travel, her driving, and they will start taxing her based on the usage road usage tax that she drives. So 2 days a week, the single mom, she veers off that route, and she goes to the Garden Street Mall. That's another 3 miles each way. That's 6 miles, and boom, the government is just racking up the dollars based upon the miles in which the single mom drives. And by the way, the single mom makes much less than $400,000 a year. And she is the quintessential example of working Americans in America, the working poor. And you have the Democrat Communist Party, who is just raping the pocketbooks and the checkbooks and the purses and the wallets of each and every American, irrespective of their income level. So again, the $400,000 a year was just a campaign slogan. It was something the buffoon Biden picked up out of the air at that moment, and then he had to stick to it. But in the meantime, you've got Nancy Pelosi and her cabal in the House who inserted this bill, and then you've got Schmuck Schumer who's out there, and he's demanding that they pass the bill in the United States Senate immediately, okay, 2,700 pages. 22,700 pages in a $1.2 trillion scam, okay? And included, of course, is the Green New Deal scam money, even taking more out of the United States taxpayer coffers, out of our wallets. And now they're going to tax. They're going to tax the Americans out the ass. How about the people that live in remote areas, like in remote parts of New York or Pennsylvania or even Massachusetts? You know, when I lived in Massachusetts and I was going to college, I lived 12 miles from my college, 12 miles. It took 10 minutes to get there, but that was 24 miles a day, not to mention that I was working as well. So that was another, you know, 8 miles out of the way. What about these places that they don't have a rapid transportation system? There's no bus system, and you have to rely on vehicles to get to and from your places of business, okay, to and from the grocery store. Now they're going to put monitors on your vehicle and then tax you based on your road usage. It's not enough to rape us at the pump. Okay. Gas, you know, the federal gas tax prices are not enough. Oh, that's because of all the Green New Deal. So they can start stealing from the American people. They've got to find ways to tax you, even though you don't make more than $400,000 a year. Remember, that's what the bloviating buffoon talked about. If you make $400,000 a year, you're not going to be taxed one dime. Nope, a dollar, a dollar. So another meaningless soundbite, exploit the middle class, tell the middle class that I got your back. In the meantime, they have your hand inside your wallet, and they're just taking money out of your wallet faster than you're putting it in. That's the Democrat Communist Party.
That's double taxation because I already pay taxes for the roads and my property taxes and my city taxes and my sales taxes and my gas taxes. I'm already paying for that. And I'm going to pay for it again. And I have the choice of whether I want to go on a toll road and pay the fee voluntarily. And I have a choice. I can go the toll road or I can take regular either county or federal highways. And now
right.
I'm going to get charged for any road.
And that's a really good point.
Then I'm
going to
get charged twice on a toll road? If I take a toll road, does that mean I get charged twice?
Well, certainly. Let's face it. You just brought up a great point. You take a toll road, you consciously pay a tax, which is the toll, to drive however many miles, okay, on that toll road. In the meantime, you're going to rack up the miles that the government's going to watch, and they're going to impose another tax. So you're paying a toll tax, you're paying a gas tax to fill up your car in order to drive on that toll road, and then the federal government's going to come in under this $1.2 trillion larceny bill, okay, and they're going to take even more money from you. So there are three taxes that are imposed inside of that vehicle once you start that vehicle up and you start driving it under the $1.2 trillion larceny bill. It's no wonder Chuck Schumer wants that bill passed so fast. And the 19 cowardly Republicans in the Senate who decided to fold and cave with the establishment, they suck, okay? They have done a tremendous disservice. Here we go. Bring it on, boy, in California. $4.69 a gallon for gas. $4.69 a gallon. I paid $3.49 a gallon. Yeah, $4.69, and you're telling me that you're going to tax this guy even more because by employing a road tax. This is how out of control our government has. This is, you know what? When the buffoon Biden said America is back, it sure is. It's back to the same old tired, failed liberal policies that have mired the American people in taxes and bigger government for the last 70 years. And the buffoon Biden is the perfect chimpanzee to put in place to roll things back to the way America was being run by the elitist in Washington, D.C. They haven't met a tax they didn't like, and they buried in this $1.2 trillion larceny bill a motor vehicle tax bill, per mileage tax. Can you imagine a per mileage tax? So the liar-in-chief lied straight to the American people, and again, there's no accountability. There's no accountability from the DNC media. There's no accountability from the Republican Party. Why aren't there any Republicans in the House and or the United States Senate exposing the liar-in-chief and Chuck Schumer for, again, taking money out of the American people's pockets?
Probably because the media is not reporting it, just like they didn't report the Obama party as a spreader event. It became something totally different.
There you go. There you go. You got you've got the spreader at the super spreader birthday bash at the $12 million estate. Oh, those poor poor Democrats. Oh, that's now let's keep in mind the $12 million estate at Martha's Vineyard is one of Barack Hussein Sotoro's mansions, one of his mansions at Martha's Vineyard. Then don't you know, Al, the Chinese virus is very selective because the Chinese virus doesn't infect sophisticated birthday spreaders. Okay. It doesn't, infect the sophisticated. And according to the New York Times news writer, who was falling all over her tongue about, you know, the Obama birthday super spreader bash, the guests were sophisticated. That's what she said. They were sophisticated. Oh, wow.
They were Marxists.
I mean, you know, and then there's John Legend, who and his wife were two of the guests at the event. I think Dwayne Wade and of course John Lurch Carey, who the climate czar, who flew in on his private jet, as one pundit said, he used more greenhouse gas emissions by flying his private jet than anybody else, you know, that was there. You know, that's fraud. But John Legend was scolding people who are unvaccinated and about going to functions without masks on. Can you going to indoor functions and, you know, how did he put it? Going to functions indoor is irresponsible in this time. And yet it was John Legend and his wife who attended the super spreader 60th birthday bash. They didn't have masks on. It was indoors. Okay. It wasn't outdoors. Although it was in a tent. Okay. And so these elitists, I think the term was rules for thee, not for me. And I guess it's because John Legend and his wife are sophisticated, according to the New York Times writer. So the Chinese virus only affects the unsophisticated and not the elitists like the Barack Hussein, Sator Obama, and his husband. Oh, I mean, isn't that beautiful? Oh. Don't have
John
a 4th
Legend
of July. Go ahead.
Here's his tweet from August 2nd. John Legend, being unvaccinated and or unmasked at a large indoor gathering is like literally begging to get COVID. Please don't do that to yourself, your family, or your neighbors. Full stop. What
that was John Legend, right?
Piece of human debris. Yes, John Legend.
Read that one more time. Read it again. This is John Legend, who attended the super spreader 60th birthday bash that Barack Hussein, Sator Obama threw himself at Martha's Vineyard, where only the sophisticated were allowed to attend. And as a matter of fact, it's now reported that there were two people at the event who were not vaccinated, and it was indoors. So please go ahead and read what John Legend, how he was scolding people about not being vaccinated and being in small environments.
Being unvaccinated and or unmasked at a large indoor gathering is like literally begging to get COVID. Please don't do that to yourself, your family, or your neighbors, period.
Being unmasked. And who was unmasked at this birthday spreader, super spreader birthday bash? John Legend and his wife were two of the unmasked individuals. You see, these elitists have a different value system. And their value system is, it's what we tell you to do. Okay, because we know what's better for you. And if you're a conservative, if you're a Trump follower, you're part of the problem because you're unsophisticated. So there. And yet,
thanks.
In Massachusetts, just up the street from the super spreader birthday bash, at Fenway Park on this past Tuesday, Guns N' Roses kicked off a summer concert. And guess what? The place, Fenway Park, was packed with thousands of fans. And as the highly contagious Delta variant continues to cause COVID-19 cases to tick up in Massachusetts, experts say outdoor transmissions remains rare. The studies on outdoor transmission, there are a couple of good ones. One showed that risk of outdoor transmission is 1,000th the risk of indoor transmission, said Tufts Medical Center epidemiologist Dr. Shira Daron. We also have very, very good data that shows that it's much harder for a fully vaccinated person to get infected. except it found that vaccinated people were cause of 74% of the infections in Massachusetts the last 2 weeks. Okay, when they are infected, they're not infected for as long as those as someone who is unvaccinated, said Dr. Aaron Bromage, a biology professor at the University of Massachusetts, Dartmouth. The fact is that even with the Chinese virus vaccine, you still get infected. The fact is that 74% infections in Massachusetts were caused by people who were vaccinated. Last week, the CDC pointed to evidence that fully vaccinated people can become infected with the virus and transmit it, but those cases remain rare. Really, again, 74% of the transmissions and infected were from people who have the Chinese virus vaccination. So it's not rare as we're being sold. Okay? That means they can't even be honest about it. They can't be honest. There's so many conflicting reports. And then you look at, you know, Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama, the elitist snob, the globalist, the anti-American communist, has a birthday bash, a super spreader birthday bash, and he has different rules for that. And you know, we're being scolded by actors like, or singers like, entertainers like John Legend. I guess it should be Dr. John Legend, because he did exactly the opposite of what he scolded people for. Yet perhaps one of the best stories that I read this past week, and I want to thank you to Holzer for it, was from LouRockwell.com. We will not comply, a campaign against medical tyranny. And he got it right. We are dealing with a virus that around 99.7% of the people will easily survive, according to medical establishment's own studies and stats, as well as numerous independent studies. Yet for some reason, we are being bombarded with fear-mongering from the media and from governments. And, you know, that little paragraph, Al, to me, again, I'm sorry, I'm beating this, because we are dealing with a virus that around 99.7% of the people easily survive, according to medical establishment's own studies and stats, as well as numerous independent studies. Yet for some reason, we are being bombarded with fear-mongering from the media and from governments. And you've got this buffoon Biden who calls people who aren't getting vaccinated as being un-American. And then you've got Obama, same thing. It's irresponsible, you know, for not getting vaccinated. And we shouldn't have a July 4th gathering. And you shouldn't have more than 10 people at any type of gathering, whether it's for Easter or for Thanksgiving. In the meantime, this bastard has 400 people at some super spreader birthday bash. And not only that, it's indoors. And not only that, they're not wearing masks. And yet we're told by the very same elitist snobs that we have to wear masks, that we're being irresponsible. And it's not about you. It's about infecting your neighbor. Okay. Oh, in the meantime, the fear mongering from the government and from the media, just as being said by, as Brandon Smith outlined in his letter, why is it the only solution being suggested to the general public involves us giving up all of our freedoms and medical autonomy? Why is 99.7% of the population supposed to lock down, mask up, and submit to an experimental mRNA vaccine with no long-term testing data to prove its safety? Why don't the 0.26% of the people that are truly at risk of dying from the virus simply take precautions or stay home while the rest of us get on with our normal life, as Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama, and John Legend did, okay, Dwayne Wade and his wife did, Gabrielle Union did, just this past weekend? They get on with their lives, but we can't live our lives. It's important that the government maintain total control over you and me. And by God, if you don't get a vaccine, you're un-American. Fuck you. Okay? Hell, I would be fine with contributing to a fund to help support the 0.26% at risk, to help their families and help with their medical bills. The Federal Reserve and other central banks burned trillions of dollars in stimulus measures and PPP loans to keep businesses from completely going up bankrupt, and to keep jobless, non-essential workers from starving during the initial shutdowns. But we could have simply kept the economy going this entire time and paid a fraction of the cost, the tiny minority of people that would actually suffer from the illness. I'll say it again. and again, because I still to this day see the media and the misinformed COVID cultists continually claim the death rate of COVID is much higher. It's not. The median infection fatality rate of COVID is only 0.26%. This is a fact. This is the science according to the vast majority of medical studies out there on the IFR. Let me repeat. The entire world is being locked down and told we have to give up our inherent human liberties because 0.26% of the population might get more than the sniffles and a brain fog from a COVID infection. Why? Why? Because the COVID response and restrictions have nothing to do with public health and everything to do with public control. Al, that summed it up perfectly. It is about public control. We are watching our liberties, our freedoms, and our rights, our constitutional rights being eroded and taken away by this fascist government. We are watching our First Amendment rights being abridged. All five components of our First Amendment rights have been abridged. The freedom to peaceably assemble. We were scolded. We were told that we cannot amass. We cannot have more than five people, not more than six, not more than 10 people. And yet this elitist bastard in Martha's Vineyard has 400, 500 people at his super spreader birthday bash and not a goddamn word from the same elitist media who is scaring the hell out of the American people. Why? Because it's about public control. It is about getting with the masses. You go ahead and you wear a mask because we are in control. Okay? And you articulated for the last year very clearly about what a mask does. A mask is as effective as putting a chain link fence around your house to keep mosquitoes out. That is one of the best examples I've heard all year about the effectiveness of a mask. And isn't it funny how the fraud Fauci was also a proponent of not wearing a mask early on until they figured out government control. It is about controlling the public. It is about instilling fear into the hearts of the disbelievers. And now the same mantra is all around the United States. Oh, it's the unvaccinated people are a cause of this. 100% of the people who are dying are unvaccinated. Well, guess what? A year ago, before the vaccinations came into fruition, what happened? 100% of the people who are unvaccinated died. So does that make all those 100% of those people who died un-American? There is something absolutely wrong, and Brandon Smith summed it up in one sentence, because the COVID response and restrictions have nothing to do with public health and everything to do with public control. And we're being controlled. And now we're going to have to show a vaccine passport to move here, a vaccine passport to go on a cruise, a vaccine passport to go there. I mean, what's going on here? What's going on? We're a year into this thing, over a year. We're told it would be done in 60 days, okay? And the buffoon Biden had all the answers, all the answers. He had all the answers about controlling and containing the Chinese virus. And then he gets in, and he doesn't have the answer. Doesn't have the answer. Because he speaks in sound bites, and he speaks in tongues. He's nothing but a liar. But he just says anything that comes off the top of his head, it's fine to say. It's fine to say. You know, just like when bubbling Biden stated to a business owner, you know, we kept you open. We kept you open? I mean, who the hell do you think you are? Oh, well, here is the bumbling Biden in his own words, okay, to a restaurant owner. In the Cincinnati town hall, okay, and I'm sure that Biden wasn't anticipating actually getting a real question from somebody. Okay, so here is Biden. 2 minutes.
We employ hundreds of hardworking team members throughout the state of Ohio and across the country, and we're looking to hire more every day as we try to restart our restaurant business. The entire industry, amongst other industries, continue to struggle to find employees. How do you and the Biden administration plan to incentivize those that haven't returned to work yet. Hiring is our top priority right now.
Well, two things. One, if you notice, we kept you open. We spent billions of dollars to make sure restaurants could stay open. And a lot of people who worked as waiters and waitresses decided that they don't want to do that anymore because there's other opportunities at higher wages.
Flat out
lie. There's a lot of openings now in jobs. And people are beginning to move. There's some evidence that maintaining the ability to continue to not have to pay your rent so you don't get thrown out and being able to provide for unemployment insurance has kept people from going back to work. There's not much distinction between not going back to work in a restaurant and not going back to work at a factory. So people are looking to change opportunities, change what they're doing. Mm. My deceased wife's father-in-law was a restaurateur up in Syracuse, New York. And by the way, he tried to convince he had a restaurant.
So this is how the incoherent, bumbling Biden starts to filibuster. Okay, he brings up that his deceased wife's father, had a restaurant in Syracuse, New York. I mean, this is how this guy works. He had no answer for it. He started to mumble and he started to fumble and he started to blubber away. Okay, so a lot of people who worked as waiters and waitresses decided that they don't want to do any more because there's other opportunities at higher wages because there's openings in jobs. That's crap. That is absolute bull. It's balderdash. But secondly, John, my guess is that people being $7-$8 an hour plus tips, I think you're going to find going to $15 an hour or more, but you may pay that already. Again, it's garbage. Okay, this is the horse shit from the snake oil salesman, Biden. A lot of people who worked as waitresses and waiters decided that they don't want to do any more because there's an opportunity to higher wages. That's a flat out lie. But since we have a dishonest DNC media who sanitizes and covers for the bloviating Biden, he can make such outrageous claims without any pushback from his sycophants in the media. The bloviating Biden goes off on some BS tangent about his deceased wife's, father owned a restaurant in New York and blah, 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 nothing to do with the question. But Biden struggled at times to answer a simple question. And he was all over the place and by distracting about his ex-father-in-law owning a restaurant that Biden was going to work at and didn't want to work at. And this is what the buffoon does. And of course, the left-wing lunatics goes on to berate small business owners with another ignorant Marxist statement. And again, attacking the business owner that you have to pay $15 an hour. Why? Oh, because the federal government is paying people to stay home an extra $300 to $600 a week. And why work? There's the opportunity, okay, that bloviating Biden didn't want to tell you. It's about paying $15 an hour. And how do they do that? Because the government figured out that paying an extra $600 a week gives you that $15 an hour. There's the opportunity. People weren't going to get other jobs because there weren't other jobs available. So it's a flat-out lie. Who's looking for employment? Nobody. You stay home, you make $30,200 instead of waiting on tables, instead of busing tables, okay? Because the draconian policies of the left wing is to keep businesses closed all in the name of a pandemic. So you scold the business owner, we kept you open. You shut us down. First of all, you told people that they couldn't come to the restaurant. Did you forget about that? But we kept you open. Uh-huh. Yeah, I couldn't pay any employees because I had no revenue coming in. And then businesses got smart. They started their takeout campaign. And people were forced to leave their houses where you can go to a grocery store, but you had to mask up. You couldn't eat inside of restaurants. Hell, in New York, just 3 months ago, you couldn't even go inside a restaurant in New York City. Or California, for that matter. It wasn't until back in December, January, or October, that restaurants in Florida were at a 25% capacity. 25%! And you're telling me that people were looking for other opportunities? How? No one was hiring. I mean, we're being sold a bill of goods here, and it's being furthered by a snake oil salesman that buffooned Biden. And again, right before your eyes in the town hall meeting, Biden lied. He flat out lied. And again, but he kept to the left-wing Marxist ideology, and that is $15 an hour, yet another fictitious number that's pulled out of the sky by these communists, by these Marxists. You expect people to make $7 an hour, work $7, $8 an hour, plus tips? Yes, I do. As a matter of fact, they were. They were. Until the federal government started paying an additional $600 a week on top of the unemployment benefits, which the federal government mandated that you extended. Why? Because the federal government shut the economy down. But Biden doesn't want to say that, of course. I mean, let's distract from the facts. Let's distract from the facts, man. Come on, man. You got to pay $15 an hour, man. Another more horse shit by this guy. But he's the perfect chimpanzee to spread this minutia. He's the perfect idiot in charge to spread this garbage, okay, because it's exactly what these Marxists want. They are anti-free enterprise, they are anti-capitalist, and they are anti-small business. Yeah, you'd pay $15 an hour, right? Wait, maybe you do already. People weren't going out looking for jobs. And what was the incentive for them to look for a job? Well, I'm getting $275 a week from unemployment from the state. I'm getting $600 a week from the government, federal government. Well, under the old math, that's $875 a week. You know what? I think I'm going to look elsewhere for a job, like maybe my living room. There's a great job there. I could sit down and watch movies and pay for my. You know what? I can now subscribe to Newsmax to Netflix. That's a man. This is what $15 an hour is like, huh? Garbage. I mean, it's insane, man. Al, we're being sold a bill of goods by these people.
Yep, just like the CDC. They basically, a story came out 2 days ago. CDC basically says vaccines are pointless. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, existing vaccines are pointless because coronavirus is mutating faster than the COVID-19 vaccine can keep up with. These vaccines operate really well in protecting us from severe disease and death, Director Walensky explains. The big concern is that the next variant could potentially evade our vaccines, and liberals and Marxists are going spastic. Because right now, Walensky assures we're not at the point where the vaccines quit working. For a while longer, they'll operate really well in protecting us from severe disease and death. Close quote. The big headache for the CDC is the Delta variant. It started in India and has been surging in the U.S. Now, liberals have been blaming the spike on people who refused to get the vaccine, but Moderna just admitted that even those who had both shots can expect to catch the Delta mutation because the vaccine doesn't work against it. Now, the CDC admitted that it doesn't matter if you were vaccinated or not because everyone infected with Delta has higher viral loads compared to the other versions of the coronavirus. So that means that even vaccinated people could pass the virus along to others. And people are scratching their heads going, oh, my God, this is such new information. But it's not, because the annual flu mutates every single year. That's why they have a flu shot every year, because it mutates.
And guess what?
When they're
you also, yeah. If you get a flu shot, you still can get the flu.
Right. So excuse me for not wanting to run out and get the vaccine that's already in the tail end of its usefulness anyway. So now people are going to have to get a booster for the variant, for the Delta variant.
And they're telling you to hold off on getting a booster.
A gamma variant. Yeah. And an Epsilon variant is going to go. It's going to be like hurricane names. You got a new one every year.
Well, because you can't call the variants by their origination. Like, you can't call it the India variant because that's, you know, that's politically incorrect. So, and also, if you call it the Brazilian variant, then what happens is you start bringing light to the feckless border policy that or the lack thereof by this administration. And when you have illegal aliens who are penetrating the southern border, okay, who are unvaccinated and infected, okay, guess what? The issue then becomes, why would you bring light by calling the strain the Brazilian strain? Because how does it make its way up to Brazil? It makes it up through the illegal aliens coming in our southernmost borders, and then bringing that strain into the United States. I mean, we can't. You can't bring light to a feckless border policy, an absolutely miserable, failed border policy by this administration. You brought up, give an intro to the DeSantis comments here. We have a 1 minute, 30-second audio from Governor Ron DeSantis and regarding about Biden getting in the way.
Well, apparently President Biden peeled in and took off on Governor DeSantis and the governor of Texas as not being a part of the team. Even Jen Psaki got into the mix by saying that if you can't be help us stop COVID, just get out of the way for the people who are really trying to do the job. Well, DeSantis had a great reply for President Biden, and this is why I love Governor DeSantis.
And earlier today, Governor Ron DeSantis was in Panama City, where he addressed yesterday's comments from President Joe Biden, singling out Florida over the coronavirus. And here's what the governor had to say to the president.
This is a guy who ran for president saying he was going to, quote, shut down the virus. And what has he done? He's imported more virus from around the world by having a wide-open southern border. You have hundreds of thousands of people pouring across every month. If you're coming after the rights of parents in Florida, I'm standing in your way. I'm not going to let you get away with it. If you're trying to deny kids a proper in-person education, I'm going to stand in your way, and I'm going to stand up for the kids in Florida. If you're trying to restrict people, impose mandates, if you're trying to ruin their jobs and their livelihoods and their small business, if you are trying to lock people down, I am standing in your way, and I'm standing for the people of Florida. So why don't you do your job? Why don't you get this border secure? And until you do that, I don't want to hear a blip about COVID from you.
During his speech, the governor...
That was beautiful. That was Governor Ron DeSantis. That was beautiful.
Yep. And he confirms everything he said about the border. You got all kinds of new infected people coming over the border. That doesn't seem to be a problem. Just like the Obama 60th birthday party was not a problem. If you weren't wearing a mask, social distancing, all that other bullshit didn't apply to the Obama party because technically you were in a tent.
Yeah.
So everything's okay.
Well, wait a minute. Wait, you're in a tent, which is indoors, which means that you're indoors, which even MIT epidemiologist says that you have a greater chance of spreading the Chinese virus indoors than you do outdoors.
Technically, that is very true. But my niece had a wedding during the middle of all this, probably about, I don't know, 8-9 months ago, almost a year, when it was all going down pretty heavy. Everything was getting shut down. Well, she had a wedding in D.C., and it was in a tent. And it was in a tent because it wasn't in a building. So technically it was outside, even though it was inside an air-conditioned tent. So firsthand, I can tell you that's probably what was going in mind with the tent. But I'm sure that they had the tent because they had 400 people there. And you don't want 400 people trancing through your mansion. It's just not good, even if they're special people. And they're sophisticated people. They still might drop their wine glass on your carpet or something.
Oh, well, let me tell you something. Speaking of sophistication, I think it's highly probable that we have a sophisticated phone caller right now. And might I bring on the sophisticated man from the frozen tundra of Vikingland? We have Holger. Good evening, Holger. Welcome to the Vito Esposito show, where we are sophisticated.
Good. God, I feel like I'm listening to NPR.
Pardon me, I'm so asleep.
Well, next up on our show.
Music. I just had to make a quick call because when you played the clip with Biden trying to explain, you know, but basically Biden did there was insulted, you know, basically 40 million restaurant servers across the country. But, you know, the fact of the matter is these people who are setting the agenda in this country, who are closing down businesses, they don't have an economic bone in their body. They've never worked a real job. And I have never looked this up before, but I just did, and that's why I wanted to call, because it takes a lot to shock me nowadays. But Joe Biden, you know, when Joe Biden starts to bumble,
mm-hmm.
it's because he has a serious lack of any, you know, being in touch with what life is really like in America. Okay, he can't relate to anyone in this country other than the people in the Capitol building. And so this shocked me. I read on his background that he went to the University of Delaware. And then got his law degree from Syracuse University in 1968. Okay? So in 1968, he's got a law degree from Syracuse. 1970, okay, year and a half later, he becomes a member of, he gets elected to the Newcastle, Delaware City Council. Now that's not exactly the track that most lawyers would take. You know, it costs a lot of money to get a law degree. It's a pretty affluent accomplishment, and he takes a job on the city council in 1970, and then in 1972 he gets elected U.S. senator from Delaware. So bottom line. Joe Biden has never had a job in his life other than as an elected official. And we hear
Correct.
This all the time about Bernie Sanders, never had a job, you know, basically, you know, ran as a kid for some office and so forth. So I looked up Nancy Pelosi, and I'm just going to read this. In 1958, Pelosi graduated from the Pelosi graduated from the Institute of Notre Dame, an all-girls Catholic high school in Baltimore. In 1962, she graduated from Trinity College in Washington, D.C. with a Bachelor of Arts in Political Science. Pelosi interned for Senator Daniel Brewster in the 1960s alongside future House Majority Steny Hoyer. After moving to San Francisco, Pelosi became friends with 5th District Congressman Philip Burton and began working her way up in Democrat politics. Again, no job, nothing but politics.
Right.
And I don't know if you remember, but there was a, I can't remember who it was. I want to say it was a senator from Connecticut. It was either Connecticut or New Hampshire that was at one of their town halls a number of years ago, and somebody in the audience said something. They were talking about jobs, and somebody in the audience asked this politician, this Democrat senator, asked him how a job is created. And they absolutely could not answer the question. They couldn't.
it absolutely drew a complete blank on how a job is created. So
I have to find that clip.
you talk about, you know, here's the most powerful man in the free world. Somebody ask him a simple question. You know, the simple question is, how are you going to incentivize these people to come back to work? You know, we can't survive as restaurants because we can't get people in to do a job. And Joe Biden is, you know, the reason he's blowing smoke up his ass is because he's got no idea.
Correct. Correct. And he immediately resorted to the left-wing talking points, to the Marxist ideology of $15 an hour. And yep. And that's all he has in his arsenal. He has no idea how free enterprise creates a job. He has no idea how to meet a payroll and how this man, John, the restaurateur, is struggling, you know, to keep the doors open, one, and to find employees to help keep the door open, to generate income to keep the door open. And it's the buffoon Biden and these governmental policies that are incentivizing people to remain home, to remain unemployed. And they, the elitists like the bumbling Biden, look at it as if people are looking for other jobs. And that's not true. The fact is that the government incentivized people to stay home by paying them $600 a week additional to stay home because they want people to be dependent upon the federal government. That is the Marxist ideology. That is how you take people out of the workforce. And, you know, we're supposedly in an economic boom and, you know, and a job boom, and 943,000 jobs were created, but yet you want to shut the economy down and people are looking for other jobs. There are help wanted signs everywhere when you drive up and down the streets. Everywhere. Every restaurant, every retail center is looking for people to work. I saw one at a racetrack gas station. We're paying you a $200 bonus by coming to work for us because they can't get anybody to work.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, just, you know, again, you know, showing how Biden is so out of touch. You know, so I'm a waiter at a decent restaurant, sit down restaurant. I got four tables that I'm going to turn in an hour, at the lunch hour. Let's say the average check is $40 per table, so 15% tip. I'm going to make $6 a table, mm-hmm. times four. That's 24. Plus the owner's giving me $8. Base salary. So I just made $32 an hour.
Uh-huh. By the way, so out of those tips, you have to claim $8, okay? 8%. Excuse me, you have to claim 8% of that 15.
Now, if you know, I guess if you're Joe Biden, you'd rather make $15 an hour than $32 an hour because, mm-hmm. you know, he didn't want to be an attorney and make 500 grand a year. He wanted to be in the city council and make $18 a month.
Mm-hmm. Right. Sure.
Now, it didn't say in Wikipedia that Joe finished so low in law school that nobody would hire him as an attorney. And so he had to just take a job on the city council and so forth. But, you know, I guess the reason I just bring up this point is you know, maybe it's meaningless, but the point is these people, I mean, if you consider Joe Biden is so stupid as a human being that he basically threw away 8 years of college and law school, threw it away to take a job on a city council in some, you know, 6,000-person suburb in Delaware, if he's so stupid, but now he's in charge of deciding, you know, if we're going to save the lives of 300 million people in this country. Last thing I want to throw out there is I'm 63 years old, and I witnessed something this year. In the last week, I witnessed something I'd never thought I'd see in a million years. I've lived through being an old white male Christian conservative. Okay, I have been exposed to nonstop hatred, abuse, and oppression by the Marxists in this country now for many, many years. But just a couple days ago, I witnessed the fact that those people on the left, those Marxists, were so concerned, all of a sudden, they completely changed. All of a sudden, they were completely empathetic to the well-being of hundreds of thousands of old, white, Christian, conservative Harley riders in Sturgis, South Dakota. They cared about us. They cared about us being sick and living and stuff. And all of a sudden, so they've changed. So it must be God's work. They still want to crush the skulls of 20 million infants in the womb. But those old bikers in South Dakota, by God, it's all about protecting the poor guys. You got to put your arms around them and save them from this horrible disease. So maybe there's hope after all. You know,
I
went from a white supremacist domestic terrorist to the focus of all this love and support in just like 5 days.
Well, it's nothing that a good hug won't cure, Holger.
All right, boys.
Thank you for tuning into the Sophisticated Show this evening, and we thank you from NPR to the bottom of our heart. Listening
from
to
National Public Radio,
National
this is Holger
Public
signing
Radio.
Off. Continue with your work, young man.
Holger, thank you for the call. I really
see you later, guys.
That. Hang in there, Mr. Oh. White Conservative.
He's probably unvaccinated. We didn't even ask.
It's none of our
business.
Do we
take unvaccinated on the phone? I don't know.
Oh, that's a good question. Well, you know what? I think he was wearing a mask on the phone, so maybe we should ask people to wear a mask if they call in, because that would be the prudent thing to do, you know?
Well, CNN fired two or three people today for not being vaccinated.
Oh, boy. I'll tell you, I hope there's a lawsuit. I hope that there is a discrimination lawsuit that is absolutely they need to be sued for that. I don't believe in suing, but I'll tell you what. I think right now the discrimination that's going on in the United States, that is worthy of a lawsuit. First of all, it has to be a violation under any type of health insurance or Health Privacy Act. And I've heard some scholars say that, no, it doesn't violate HIPAA. But excuse me, you are basing your decision, and they could say, well, it's a national – how do you know that person has not had the Chinese virus and has built antibodies? And it's turning out that people with natural antibodies are – they have a less than 1% chance of getting reinfected by the Chinese virus and less than 1% transmission of the Chinese virus if you have natural antibodies built in. Why should they get a vaccine if, in fact, they have a natural antibody built into their system by virtue of being having contracted the Chinese virus? Huh?
Yeah,
I would sue them.
Especially when the vaccine acts against the natural antibodies. It's not like you get double the antibodies. You got antibodies fighting antibodies.
Correct. Yep, and that's why you're seeing that the transmissions in Massachusetts, where 74% of the transmissions were from people that are vaccinated, they were artificially inseminated with the vaccine, with the virus, and they're transmitting this virus. And you know, I find it really kind of odd that so far you've had John Rahm tested positive twice for the Chinese virus. You also had another – who was the individual that just tested positive again? Was it – I'm trying to think. Was it an actor or an athlete? Another athlete. It was a – was it a pitcher? I think it was a baseball player. Oh, my God. I'm absolutely blank. There was a baseball player that actually got hit twice now with the Chinese virus, tested positive twice. and he's not been vaccinated. So, you know, there again, there's an issue here, and something just isn't right. Okay? Something's not right.
Well, no, of course it's not right, because President Biden put out not a mandate or an edict. He said that he wanted a certain number of Americans vaccinated, and through hell or high water, he's going to get to that number, whether it's made up or not, whether it's 12-year-old kids or 90-year-old people. He needs needles in arms. But what's happening now is that the vaccine is not working just because of what the CDC says, and now they're going to have to come up with the boosters, start all over again. But I can guarantee you that President Biden does not have a booster in the pipeline that's ready to go. Maybe
of course not.
I don't know.
And you know what? They're also saying that I've also read in the Corona World Daily, Coronavirus World Daily, that do not take the booster shot at this time. That they're refraining from giving a booster shot. I was thinking Lamar Jackson, the football player. Lamar Jackson has tested positive for a second time for the Chinese virus. Fully vaccinated Christian Yelich, okay, he's the outfielder for the Milwaukee Brewers. He's tested positive for a Chinese virus. Yankees ace Garrett Cole, he's tested positive for the Chinese virus. So here we have, you know, here you have people who are vaccinated, who are not vaccinated, and there's just something's not right, okay, with either the testing or two, the transmission of it. One other point before I forget. Holzer brought up a really good point when while he was going through these old lifelong leeches, I'm sorry, politicians Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi. The one thing that comes to mind is that here you have a good old boys and girls club. He also mentioned in passing that Nancy Pelosi interned for Steny Hoyer, who happens to be the number two in the U.S. House of Representatives, Steny Hoyer. If Nancy Pelosi is 83 years old, Steny Hoyer has to be 88 years old. So now we have this club. We have this cabal in Washington, D.C. that now is in full control and really doesn't like our constitutional form of republic. And they found that power is their aphrodisiac, and power corrupts, and it's the ability to keep people in check. And power over the people is to, you know, make them wear masks and make sure that you indenture them to the federal government. And that's what they figured out. And it's ironic that Holzer was looking up these individuals. And in the meantime, now it's all starting to come together. It makes sense. The dominoes are starting to fall in place. You've got Joe Biden, who's a career politician. He's never held a job. You've got Nancy Pelosi, a career politician, never held a job. Steny Hoyer, a career politician who's never held a job. And they've all lived off of the American taxpayer, sucking off the teat of the American taxpayer. And now these same individuals, when an outsider comes in, they do everything in their power to get rid of that individual and to discredit that individual, irrespective of the fact that the individual is correct. And I'm talking about Donald Trump. Why was there such a concerted effort? And even today, they're talking about how Operation Warp Speed, they're not giving President Trump credit for it. I'm not saying that the vaccine was correct, okay? But, you know, here, this guy made sure he tore down barriers were torn down in order to come up with some sort of a vaccine. And you know, he was poo-pooed by Nancy Pelosi, by Hoyer, by Biden. Now, these same individuals, these same corrupt, dishonest individuals are embracing this untested vaccine as being the cure-all. And what are we seeing? Christian Yelich for the Milwaukee Brewers test positive for the Chinese virus after receiving the vaccine. Garrett Cole, you've got... you've had people testing positive twice for the Chinese virus. Lamar Jackson, why isn't he questioning these tests? Same with John Rahm. They tried to embarrass John Rahm on national TV before 67 million people, you know, by confronting him as he came off the green at a major golf tournament, okay, to make an example of him. And you know what? To John Rahm's credit, he was having none of that garbage. So we took 2 weeks off. He ended up winning the U.S. Open. But then they took the Olympics away from him as well. Why? Because the powers to be don't want unvaccinated people. They want to make an example of people. Well, explain that to Christian Yelich, please. Explain it to him as to why this is not working, huh? Explain it to him. He went and got the vaccine, and now he's tested positive for the Chinese virus. Something's not right. We're being sold a bill of goods, and it's medical tyranny, as Brandon Smith labeled it. It's exactly what it is, and it's about power and control in Washington, D.C. It's a selfish cabal in Washington, D.C. that's looking for a public control and to keep the masses in check, and it's to make people indentured to the federal government. I mean, I'm so incensed by bumbling Biden's comments about, well, you know, people are out there, you know, they're out there looking for other opportunities. That's why they're not in the restaurant business. You decimated the restaurant business. You and government decimated the restaurant business. Yeah, the PPP initially was there, that restaurateurs found ways to pay their employees, but you incentivized people to not look for work. And then you lied about them looking for other means of opportunity. You know, that's one thing that the snake oil salesman is good at. It's slogans and sound bites, you know, opportunities. But they resort back to what they know best. They resort back to the same old failed liberal policies and the same old failed liberal sound bites, $15 an hour. Okay. Biden doesn't know how a job is created. Neither did Elizabeth Warren, Pocahontas. Okay, government doesn't create jobs. Okay, it's the business world, free enterprise, that creates jobs. If it wasn't for free enterprise in Massachusetts, they wouldn't have built those townships. They wouldn't have employed people that needed residence housing. They wouldn't have needed public utilities if it wasn't for businesses building opportunities, building manufacturing, okay, building businesses, the mom and pop shops, okay, that reside all across America. It isn't because in North Dakota, you know, they're building all kinds of restaurants and mom and pop shops because the government put them there. It's because of the free enterprise and the opportunities that are there. That's what's building this. Because when businesses leave and they vacate a premise, it kills free enterprise. It kills small business. And Massachusetts is a prime example of that. When the shoe factories started closing up, when the woodworking and the furniture factories started shutting up, shutting down, and was moved to North Carolina, that was moved to China, what was happening to those businesses in those areas? They were shutting down too. People were leaving and they were following the jobs. They weren't looking for other opportunities. They were trying to find work, because government killed those jobs. And it's the same governments that's intact today. It's Nancy Pelosi, Steny Hoyer, and it's bumbling Biden. The same old failed policies that these old white people put in place, okay, that are destroying our constitutional republic, because government doesn't create jobs. The free enterprise and capitalism creates jobs. Small business is the backbone to America. Small business collectively employs the most people in the United States, but government doesn't want you to know that. And as far as the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, they've sold out small business. The only true small business advocate right now is the National Federation of Independent Business. And we got a caller on the line. Good evening. Welcome to Global Patriot Radio. How you doing?
Hey, guys. It's Hank. How you doing?
Hey, Hank. Good evening.
Hey. So,
what's up?
Well, you know, I don't know if you guys have reported this or have you heard. I just saw something that says Dopey Joe is to speak to the country tomorrow night. Have you heard that?
No, I haven't heard that.
Yeah. Well, the front boss for La Dopey Nostra, I've heard. I just saw I'm supposed to be speaking, and one person said it might be about new lockdowns. And so you haven't heard that then?
No, haven't heard that. I mean, we did hear from DeSantis, who's not going to be complying with not going to buy what Biden is selling. But, Al, have you heard anything about that?
No, this is news. I say, just say no. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And the question is, as you mentioned, the reason I bring it up, you're talking about small business. Small business can't survive another lockdown.
No.
It simply
nope.
can't. It simply can't. You know, nope. And I just don't, you know, and we've talked about this before, Vito. I'm not even sure what they're, I mean, you know, we know generally what they want, you know, the left, big left, it's a lust for power. It's a lust for control. But at a certain point, they don't have anything left to control except people. And you know, it takes people and it takes small businesses to build the stuff that they lust after. You know, I mean, they can't throw parties at Martha's Vineyard after a while if there's nothing to throw a party about and nothing to, nobody to create what they're, you know, nobody's there to wait on them hand and foot anymore. You know, I mean, it just doesn't make sense.
Well, yeah. There is, you know, because, look, you have two classes of people in communist China and in communist Russia. You also have two classes of people, just look at the West Bank and in Palestine with regards to the Palestinian Authority and Hamas. And my friends from Israel and Alan can attest to this as well. Who lives high on the hog on the Mediterranean Sea, okay, the Palestinian Authority leaders and Hamas leaders? Who lives high on the hog in Russia and in China? Well, it's the communist leaders who do, and it's the peasants who are suffering, and it's why that you have like a New York style slums in the Palestinian area to make them out to be victims, while the Palestinian Authority Hamas leaders are eating steak and driving Mercedes Benz and living in their posh condos. You have, you know, 12 story buildings packed with thousands of people, okay, and people living in squalor, you know, to make a point to the world. So, yeah, you know, at some point in time, you're going to have more of these super spreader 60th birthday bashes with the Obamas and all of their elitist friends, and who's going to pay for it is going to be the middle class and working poor, because the middle class is going to shrink even smaller. The upper middle class will now become the middle class and lower middle class, and will all be subservient to the federal government, because these people – and I'm talking about, you know, bumbling Biden, Steny Hoyer, Schmuck Schumer, and Nancy Pelosi. They despise capitalism. They despise the free enterprise system. And if they can break capitalism any way, shape, or form, they've learned that you do it in the name of a pandemic. 99.7% survival rate. We're going to shut down the United States economy again.
But think about this, Vito. Some of those places you're mentioning where the elites live, who's financing that? You know, some of it's oil money, but for the most part, it's the U.S. that's financing. It's the U.S. that's with their giveaways. Well, guess what? If there's nothing to give away, who's going to support Biden's lifestyle or Obama's lifestyle? China's not. You know, they may think they will. I mean, in other words, big left in this country that thinks that selling out America will lead to them living high on, they're going to have to sell out to China or to Russia. And guess what? That's the Twilight Zone episode where, you know, remember the Twilight Zone episode with the huge people with the huge heads, and they come as in peace, and it turns out the book that they hand us is a cookbook to cook humans. That's what they're going to be. That's what those people, that's what Big Left is going to be. Big Left thinks that they're going to live like kings. That's not it. Once China and Russia comes goof-stepping in, guess what? It's not a, I mean, they're not here to be pals with Obama. They're here to make him part of the meal. I don't think he gets that. I don't think those guys get it.
Good point, because in Montenegro right now, they're going through some real financial issues, and where China now is calling it a loan. I don't know if they made that loan payment for infrastructure to China, but China says that they will take part of some of Montenegro's land if they can't meet a debt payment for a transportation. Exactly. They still have some of their workers over there. So China is salivating right now because as the debt grows in America and you lock down the economy once again and production stops, what happens? You know, I guess you just print more money until you get to the point where, you know, your debt just kind of exceeds any ability to pay it back. And China walks in and takes California.
Yeah. So, yeah, who's going to buy any debt we give out from pretty much from here on out, any debt we give out, the only people that are going to buy it is China. It's, I mean, I would hope U.S. investors aren't buying it, you know. I mean, we're really at a point, too, is without a debt ceiling increase that the U.S. government can't even sell securities to finance anything. I mean, they're literally, you know, now I'm sure they'll come up with something, but the point being, yeah, I mean, this is why I don't get it. I don't get their end game of locking us down, et cetera, thinking that they're going to live, because what are they going to live on? They're not going to have anything to live on. They're going to get feasted on by someone else. That's the thing. I don't think they understand, you know. But who knows?
Well, it's kind of like the Rihanna effect. Rihanna became a billionaire, $1.7 billion, and Rihanna is a pop artist who's black, and she just got a net worth $1.7 billion. And it's driving the liberals crazy because the Eat the Rich crowd is now going after Rihanna, who's a black entertainer. But all the rich are systemic white people. Systemic racism means that people can't rise due to the racism. And yet here you have Rihanna breaking that trend. They don't know what to do.
They already had that with Jay-Z. And frankly, Kanye supposedly, you know. So, yeah, they're going to have to figure out a way to turn Rihanna into a Republican. It's the only way they can pull it off. Photoshop her in a MAGA hat, you know, a red MAGA hat. That's the only way they can pull it off, is that kind of thing.
Well, maybe you go back to history when Khrushchev murdered a million of his own people because they couldn't produce enough grain on the communist farms.
Yeah.
So he couldn't get them to increase production, so he starved them to death. Almost a million people died because of that. These people are tyrants.
Yeah. It
doesn't make
They're
sense.
Evil.
All
they
about
are
power.
Evil.
They are tyrants. They are tyrants.
But I mean, do they understand? I mean, I don't know. Somebody's going to have to make some of this stuff for them. I mean, you know, that's what I don't get. And like I said, the Middle Eastern folks and even the Russian folks, they live off American largesse, believe it or not. You know, they live off the American consumer. Well, guess what? If there's no American consumer, even for China, a lot of their export markets would dry up. I mean, that's why I just don't understand what it is they are. I mean, I understand where they think. They think in terms of stealing the country and ruling people, and so lust for power. But at a certain point, there's nothing for them to take. That's what I don't get. I mean, I'm lost. And like I said to you, Vito, I get their lust for power. I get their lust for control. But what is it right now? I mean, what is it they think they can accomplish? Because if they really think locking people down is going to work again, I got news for them.
It's very possible then that maybe tomorrow Joe Biden gets has his press conference, and he admits that his border policy has been an utter failure, and that they've been shipping 1,800 people a day who are unvaccinated, infected illegal aliens around the country, and it's why the Chinese virus has spread so much around the United States, because they are shipping illegal aliens all throughout the United States. Maybe he'll admit that his southern border policy has been an utter failure, and that communist Kamala Harris hasn't done her job. I think they'll blame Trump for that. They'll probably blame Trump for caging.
Well, here's the other thing. Here's the thing you have to ask, too. And I'm not blaming Trump for this, obviously. But he was the one that spearheaded getting the vaccine out so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the other thing. I think that's another reason that they had to cheat to get him out, is because I wonder if they knew all along they were going to make a vaccine that wasn't really effective. You know what I mean? You got to wonder that.
I'm going to play. Let me take another angle at that. I think that Trump gets the vaccine out and opens up the economy in all 50 states. Okay, has the southern border secured, and we come back to some form of normalcy. Even though the Chinese virus may mutate here and there, but we have a situation where you've got the, what do they call that, when the people what is it called? Oh my God, I'm at my mind chart here, brain fart. The economy's back, people are back to work, the vaccine is out there.
and you have more states following Florida's lead and opening up, and also South Dakota, Kristi Noem. You know, you've got, what, seven states right now that are fully open, but I think you would have had probably 45 states fully open, and those that stayed behind, they would have lost. They would have had to open just because of the pressure, the fact that the vaccine was out there and the economy is back open and moving. And so, you know, I think by having Biden and Communist Kamala in place, what you've done is you've been able to maintain the restrictions, been able to play the fear angle, as well as to make people fear and blame the unvaccinated. And I don't think that would have happened with Trump. And I think this is what the powers to be knew. These people knew that they couldn't afford that to happen. They couldn't afford businesses to get back. They had to find other angles in order to keep people locked up and to keep businesses down.
Well, if that's the case, then we really are dealing with just sick people. We're not dealing with just power.
Oh, yeah.
We're dealing with sick people. I mean, here's the other thing, though. I'm seeing stuff, like, as an example, on social media, people that'll, you know, give these diatribes and try to, vaccine shaming, and they'll say, given what we know and this, what would you say to somebody who's not vaccinated? And I'm like, I'd say this, because you're implying that I would say this. Well, now that we know the vaccine doesn't work, either that or, I mean, because they'll say scientifically and statistically. Well, scientifically and statistically, we don't know what the truth is. I mean, we are hearing, yes, you have to get vaccinated, but we are also hearing that people that are vaccinated can be asymptomatic carriers or can be asymptomatic receivers. You know, in other words, then why are you getting? Why are we getting the vaccine if that's the case? But but they're saying, well, even someone who's vaccinated can get it. Well, that's not exactly a good sales pitch, and yet they're shaming. You know, on top of that, that's what I'm saying. What am I missing? The hell am I missing? And that's what I don't get. I mean, they're literally saying things like, shaming, get the vaccine. It's the only thing because, and people are, football, they're even saying, if you want to see a full crowd in Kinnick Stadium in Iowa City this fall, get the vaccine. Well, wait a second. I'll show you 12 articles that can give you 27 reasons not to get it and 5 reasons to get it. You know, I mean, now it's not to get it is really starting to stack up.
Well, in the military now, the COVID vaccine is going to be on the required vaccine list, and if you don't take it, you risk having getting booted out with a dishonorable discharge. That's on the on deck circle.
So that tells you either. Well, here's what'll be interesting. If the military, as an example, let's just say 1 million people, I don't know the numbers, but so let's say 100,000, that's a number I could. So 100,000 people get the vaccine and none of them get sick. What's that going to tell us? You know, if the numbers are different, if the numbers are vastly different, something's really wrong. You know, I mean.
Well, all we know is that
there's 99. Mutated and now everybody needs a booster.
Yeah, right. And they're saying not to get a booster. There's a 99.7% survival rate. Herd mentality is what I was looking for earlier.
Herd
mentality.
Yeah. Herd immunity.
Hank, what's on your show really quick? You got a show Wednesday?
Well, we're going to wrap up the Olympics, and, of course, we're wrapping into college football. But I'm going to talk about Kirk Cousins, who contracted, the Vikings quarterback, got the virus, and he's become a pariah. But guess what? Lamar Jackson's gotten COVID twice now, and he hasn't gotten the vaccine yet, and we're not hearing a thing about him. So, and like I said, if it weren't for double standards, Big Left would have none. So that's about it. More to come. We'll talk about, some of the COVID stuff from the Olympics because we're starting to see numbers on that as well.
All right.
So,
great.
It'll be fun.
All right. Hank, have a nice evening. Thanks for the call.
You too. Great
Thanks,
call.
Thanks, guys. We
All right,
talk
man.
To y'all later.
Hey, guys. Hey, got one quick story out of the American military news. 9 Democrat members of Congress led by Florida's Ted Deutch introduced legislation H.R. 4953 Friday in the House of Representatives to amend the National Firearms Act to include, quote, any semi-automatic rifle that has the capacity to accept a detachable magazine, such as the AR-15. The move would force owners to be put on a federal registry, submit fingerprints, photos, notify law enforcement officers, and wait over 9 months for approval, as well as pay a $200 tax in accordance with the National Firearms Act requirements. They've gone for our ammo, and now they're coming for the guns. You try to get ammo this last year, forget about it.
Forget about us, right? And Ted Douchebag is carrying the waters for the anti-constitutional Biden regime. I mean, if that doesn't tell you how anti-constitutional Biden and Harris are, I don't know what is. The Democrat Party is a cancer. They are an anti-constitutional party right now. And now, you know, I hope that there's a lawsuit on that and it challenges and more judges are stepping up and they're following the Constitution because that is unconstitutional. That is a subversion of the Constitution.
How much can we take? We're getting overloaded. I'm overloaded. It's not one thing, it's another or another after that.
I think it comes down to the Declaration of Independence, Al. Whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and institute a new government. And the bumbling Biden and Harris administration has become out of control. They are anti-American, and it's time to send Pelosi, Hoyer, Schumer, Biden, and Harris, send them to Gitmo. They are seditious, bordering on treasonous individuals.
Yep, I told you last year I didn't think we were there, but we are on the 5-yard line. It's first down.
We are, but I'll tell you, so there's some great patriots right here on Global Patriot Radio, including Eric from Kafiristan, who's got Radio Free Kafiristan tomorrow. Eric from another patriot, Hank Jones of Poly Sports. He's on Thursday evenings, 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And another great patriot is Paul Sutliff, the author of Civilization Jihad, and also the author of the new book, The Cancer of Civilization Jihad. He's on 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Thursday. Friday, you got Andrew Harrod. Conservative Friday. You got Saturday, you have Minister Simon Dakhtar and a beautiful Christie reviewing the truth about Islam, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Eric from Kafiristan is back on Sunday with his Radio Free Kafiristan Interfaith Dialogue at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. And Alan and I will be back Monday evening at 6 p.m. Also on Blog Talk Radio, check out Blog Talk Radio shows, G-Ski and Dave. Airwaves America Friday, 7 p.m. Central Time. Annie, Southern Sense Talk Radio, Fridays from 1 to 4 p.m. And keep Annie in your prayers, please. You got Chief Simple Facts of Life, Tuesdays, 3 p.m. Pacific Time on Blog Talk Radio. And then a break from politics and Islamic terrorism and counterterrorism is the Simone Nicole Show, Wednesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Spreaker.com. Joshua, get your great self-help. Have you exercised today? And I did. I walked 3.5 miles today. So yes, and I only ate some junk today. But Al and I will be back next Monday evening. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter, Hash Brown, G Patriot Radio, Hash Brown Mama Mia, No Sharia. One other plug. Go to bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. Bigfoot has a great blog. He puts a lot of work into it. It's great news from all around the world, not just American news outlets. So I want to thank Sue from New Mexico. Thank you, Sue, for tweeting out our show. Bigfoot, our big patriot. Bring it on, boy. Ducky Northwest. Eric from Kafiristan. We got Gulf Dogs, HOV Radio. OBFSUR, Big Fat Soft Underbelly. They were inspirational, the New Zealanders, for chasing the Italians who didn't want to be eaten by the Aborigines. Alaska Boyd, nice to see you, Boyd. And, of course, we had Hank Jones of Poly Sports. Thank you, Holzer, for the call. Al, any party shots?
Adios, amigos, and rest in peace, Bobby Bowden, in your 44-year coaching career.
Oh, he passed?
Yep, he sure did, 91.
Oh, God bless you, Bobby Bowden. I did not hear that. Oh, my goodness. We'll have to talk about that next week. Oh, what a great guy. Huh. All right, folks. Be safe out there. Be diligent. And don't wear a mask. Screw them. Sorry about that.
I like that.
That's all, folks.
A little bit late on that. I didn't hear about Bobby passing. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. 2 days. Yeah. Yesterday, maybe. 91. He had cancer. He passed quickly. So.
Yeah. How the hell did I miss that? Holy cow.
He's one of the good guys. He's up there with Bear Bryant and that generation.
Oh. Yeah, man. You ain't kidding. He was – what a classy guy, too. Oh, my God.
Yeah. From our mutual friend, we got a little inside information on what it was like who played for Bobby Bowden.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So here's stories here and there about how he cared for the players, how he wanted the players to graduate, and that was his – he's a good guy. We'll see. Led a good life, had a great career, good family man.
Oh, the sons turned out to be great coaches in football. You know what I liked about Bobby Bowden? What that movie? You remember when the Marshall plane crashed and it decimated Marshall's football? It was Bobby Bowden who was a coach. It was coach at West Virginia University who saw to it to restock Marshall to help them with equipment and stuff and help them with their football program. That was classy. That was really classy, I thought. You know, I mean, Marshall is there, but he was responsible for that place getting back in business.
Did not know that.
If you ever watched,
that's a great story.
There's a documentary about that, so about Marshall football and Bobby Bowden. So you get a chance to hear it. It's really good. And that was always a. That was something that was like, wow, about him that was really – and then plus his speaking, I mean, he was really good motivator.
Yeah, he was that. He was definitely personable.
Son of a gun. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And he's 91.
A lot happening. Yeah, 91.
Yeah.
A nice long life.
Yeah. Did a great job everywhere he went.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of national championships.
Did.
Well, so it's going to be interesting to see what Biden has to fumble through tomorrow and what lies he'll be telling the American people and who he's going to blame for the Chinese virus. And of course, I'm sure he's going to talk about, you know, his blundering at the border of the border issue.
Mm-hmm.
80 agents caught COVID in the last 2 weeks at the McAllen, Texas processing center. 80 border agents. Not to mention that there are still dozens out who were found to be within a chain within, what do you call it, the had issues with infected people at the border. So 20% of the illegals coming across the border are infected with the Chinese virus and all are unvaccinated. Cities like Miami, Florida, New Orleans, Little Rock, Arkansas, and Chicago, Illinois, not only do they have an issue with illegals and infected illegals, but also with drug trafficking going into those cities as a result of not enough border agents, the surge at the border. The lack of being able to stop the influx of illegal aliens coming into the border. So it's been an utter failure with the Biden administration. And the border agents will tell you that there's a stark difference between the policies of the last 3 years and the policies in just the last 7 months. And of course, we understand why Communist Kamala did not want to go to the border because they didn't want to bring attention to their utter and blatant failure to secure the southernmost border, which means that the Biden-Harris administration is nothing but a national security risk.
Yeah, President Biden, God bless him, tried to get Kamala to go down there and be the fall girl for the whole failure. Because he knew that it was going to come out, but somehow the media protected both their asses.
Isn't it something? And the only reason why she went down to what, to an obscure location of the border, not the the real issue, was because President Trump was traveling down there. So they didn't want to give any optics to President Trump because, you know, first of all, how are they going to control this guy? Second of all, they're trying desperately to dismantle any infrastructure that he has. You know, it's to berate, demean, and belittle anybody who still follows President Trump. They've quickly dismantled everything that he did over the last 4 years. And the media absolutely loves that part of it. And, you know, mm-hmm. the buffoon Biden sits there and does nothing. And they're okay with that. The media is okay with that. I mean, you know, he's got no plans for anything. None. I mean, it boggles the mind. It really does.
Yep. Yeah, it's talking about dismantling everything that's good, and it was working. He had the Mexicans guarding the border for us.
Yeah,
because he threatened to cut off their funding.
Yes. Yep.
So now they got the funding, and they stopped guarding the border. Surprise, surprise.
Had the Muslim Brotherhood in control, control of the Muslim Brotherhood. You know, they were making the Trump administration was making policies, not the Muslim Brotherhood. And now it's the other way around. He's appointed another, member of the Muslim Brotherhood to a Biden did to a key position. And so now we're going to be watching our free speech erode even more. Because it's going to be a censorship in America if you're deemed to have criticized Islam, which follows UN Resolution 1618, and it's a direct slap in the face. And it's unconstitutional because now he's given preferential treatment. Government has given preferential treatment over a religion, which is unconstitutional. And also taking away people's freedom of speech is unconstitutional, but it's okay because Biden just continues to do what he pleases. And everybody's fine with that. You know, the DNC media is fine with that. They want this type of division and they want this type of control. And as long as you can start dismantling, you know, the Second Amendment, just what Ted Douchebag is doing now with the bill, with the magazines. I mean, you know, this, you're talking about, H.R. 4953 to, you know, limiting a magazine, and you got handguns today, including what, Glocks, Berettas, they have a removable magazine. And
yeah.
how convenient that you craft a bill to limit that, which means that you're limiting a person's right to bear arms. And I'm hoping that there'll be many a lawsuit and the U.S. Supreme Court deems this unconstitutional because it truly is unconstitutional.
Who knows? Even what's constitutional, unconstitutional doesn't seem to matter because the Supreme Court, I don't know, they've been very silent lately with all of this that's happening. Does that mean that there's been no cases going in front of them regarding these matters? Is it all moving that quick? I think so.
Well, yes.
Is it being done by mandate and it's got to wait for
yes.
a – so it happens and then it's a lawsuit. Is only a lawsuit that's going to stop it. It's kind of like doing and asking for forgiveness later. And that's executive branch overreach.
Exactly, and that's why the Tom Fintons in the world, Judicial Watch, has been so active, and they have to bring these briefs before the Supreme Court because you've got this executive branch that is doing what they please. You have the executive branch that's saying, well, we'll go ahead and, you know, even though we know it's unconstitutional to extend the eviction eviction notices, we'll just go ahead and do it. But we know it may be unconstitutional, but we'll just go ahead and do it. So instead of, you know, the moratorium put in place and then, everybody feels good. Isn't it so nice to do that? Well, wait a minute. Hold on a second. In one breath, you're telling us the economy is roaring back. Another breath, you're telling us that 940,000 people are back to work And the other breath, you're saying you're going to enforce an unconstitutional act by putting by extending the eviction moratorium. Wait a minute. You can't have it all three ways. But something's not right here. So you need to have somebody go in and file a suit with the Supreme Court. You have to bypass the lower courts, and you're going to have to state that the executive branch is exercising unconstitutional privileges here. And look, the Supreme Court can't act unilaterally. They can't act on their own. Not like, you know, bumbling Biden is doing, all in the name of fairness. Well, you can't do that. It's time to rein in the dictator in Pennsylvania Avenue. God, it is crazy. It's nuts, man. I mean, you got 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue doing anything they please. And by the time it gets to the courts, you know, you talk about a month down the road, and it's like, well, how can you take away from those poor people? Well, excuse me, but you just told us that the economy's roaring back. If the economy's roaring back and people are going back to work, it's time to lift these eviction moratoriums and get people to start paying their way. You have to start doing away with the subsidies, the $300 and $600 a week subsidies. The U.S. taxpayer can't afford this anymore. Boy, talking about the dumbing down of America. Whoa. And the abuse of power.
No, that's because we're working so hard.
Yeah. I'll tell you. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. So tomorrow is what, Tuesday night?
Yeah.
Okay, so I have to see what's on. So I think I'll watch rerun of the Munsters tomorrow. Because Cousin It's going to be speaking tomorrow, so it's better off just watching. I think I'll take Perry Mason tonight and watch that for an hour tomorrow.
I don't know. I'm going to be riveted to it, whatever it is, because this is the first I heard about it. So,
yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Oh,
yeah.
All right.
All right. Well, you have a great evening. Good show as always.
Yes, sir. You have a good evening, and be safe out there. Sue, you be safe out there, and I'm glad you're starting to feel better. That's the main thing in this whole thing. And thank you for, you know, taking the time to be here tonight. So love you, Sue. Mama Mia hugs.
That's all, folks.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.